Welcome to the Queen City Podcast, brought to you by Dapper Apparel Company. In this episode, we welcome back Kevin Carter to talk news, sports, movies, TV, music, and what to expect in coming weeks. We also circle back to things that keep you up at night, and we get to what we've been doing during quarantine. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the Queen City Podcast, brought to you by Dapper Apparel Company. My name is Dylan Hyden, and I'm your host, and with me is Kevin Carter.
Hello.
Hello. We are back. Kevin did season 2, episode 1 with us. We're happy to have him back. Hopefully, audio is a little better this time around.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm in charge of it again, but I feel like I've got my footing on it, so we'll see. We'll see, is all I'm going
to
say.
I'll say what I said to you before you did your intro. I believe in you.
Yep.
And then I laughed at you.
Yeah, I got the laugh actually in the beginning, yeah, so I'm going to keep that in. So, Kev, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been quarantined, like the rest of the country. So, a whole lot of nothing, man. A whole lot of reflecting, trying to get used to not working. This is the longest I've not worked in over 10 years. So, it's real, real strange to me. Yeah, man, I got fired back in 2009 from my job, or was it 2010? Something like that. But that's, I didn't work for like 3 months, but it was fine because the World Cup was on, so I got to watch the World Cup with no interruptions. But that was the longest I'd never worked before, which is like 3 months. So this is going on almost a month now. So it sucks, but, you know, we're getting through it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get to catch us on some video games, some TV shows.
Yeah, luckily there was a couple video games I'd been highly anticipating that came out. So Animal Crossing first, got to really grind through that. I know a lot of people have been playing that. I know the Switches are sold out.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody wants a Switch because it's a family-friendly thing. Plus, a lot of people want to play Animal Crossing. I see it everywhere on, like, Twitter and Instagram. It's a lot of fun. It's a hard sell to people, especially adult males of our age, but it is a lot of fun. So,
Well, I think we did like a Skype trivia night the other day, and I asked, like, is it like Sims? Because that's yeah. what it looks like.
Oh, it's a life simulator, but it's very different. So it's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
It's closer to like a Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley, but even then, it's a little bit more different than that. Even.
Yeah.
So that and Final Fantasy VII Remake came out 2 days ago. Two days ago. I've already logged 20 hours into it. I've been waiting for this game for over 20 years. So
did it live up?
Yeah, dude. So far, it's been amazing. So I came into it completely blind. They released a demo a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm not playing it. I don't want to see anything about it. I don't want to see how it looks, how it sounds. And from the just the opening, like, screen looks perfect. And I was like, all right, they fucking nailed it. So, and then they haven't let me down since. There's a few boring parts in between because they're taking what was like three to 4 hours of the original game and stretching it out to 40 hours or so of actual gameplay. So it's a little bit boring in parts, but the parts that are like set pieces from the original game are just beautiful. It's a gorgeous game to look at. They did so, it's so detailed. It's everything I wanted from an upscale of the original. So, yeah, it's great. If you love Final Fantasy VII, it's definitely worth the price of admission.
That's cool, too, because normally if you wait 20 years for something,
yes,
what you get is never what you expect.
Yeah, that was my fear. I put it on my Instagram story. When I loaded it up, I was like, waited 20-plus years. Please don't suck.
Yeah.
And it didn't. So, I've talked about it before on one of the podcasts, but every summer I make it a habit to beat the original. I beat it every year for like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So I've beaten the game at least 10 times, the original, way more. I've played it way more than that.
Yeah.
I plugged in my old PS3 the other day, and I forgot on the PS3 you had to like actually like make a file for a memory card. And I went through and I looked at all my all my old memory cards, and there was probably 20 Final Fantasy VII saves, just playing it through different various parts of the game.
Yeah.
Where I'd restart it for nostalgia purposes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've played the game a ton.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're back in the workout life.
Yeah, a little bit. The first thing I did in quarantine was I bought a bench. Because I had the free weights. I had the Bowtiflex Select Tech things, which are awesome. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really have a way to really do it except for like curls and like squats with them. And I wanted to do more than I wanted to do flies and stuff like that. So bought a bench, been doing that. I've been trying to stay on a routine, but some days I wake up at like noon.
Yep. So like, day is done.
I'm not, cause I can't do it at night. I have to do it the first thing when I wake up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been trying, man. I told you earlier, I did some wind sprints, and the plural on that is stretching it a little bit. It was more of like a wind sprint, but I'm trying, man. You know, it's my excuse for working out is I have an hour drive to and from work. So that's 10 hours out of my day. And so by the time I get home, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I've been trying to get back into it. It feels good. You know, I'm bald, I'm pale, and I'm fat. You can be two of those three. You can't be all three. So
time to get a tan.
It's either I get a tan or I get ripped. So trying to get ripped because I feel like that's the more attractive of the three. I can't help being bald and, you know.
Pale's a lifestyle, baby.
Pale's a lifestyle. I don't want to look like beef jerky when I'm, you know, 60 years old. So.
Yeah.
What about you, man? What's going on with you?
Well, I was just going to say the last time we talked, it was starting to get warm and it was like kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Though the weather's kind of fluctuated here and there, but I get a grill, which is exciting as hell. So shout out to Emily's parents for donating their old grill to me. I've used the crap out of it. It just, there's something about just sitting out on the deck, grilling food and drinking a beer.
Yep.
Never really got to experience that before.
It's great, man. There was a summer, I think it was between my freshman and sophomore year of college, where both me and my little brother were home. Both my parents were out working during the day, and every day we would take turns back and forth. We had a big bag of JTMs in the freezer, and we would just grill each other JTMs for lunch every single day. It was great, dude. And yeah, I mean, it was one of my favorite summers I ever had, mm-hmm. just because it was just me and my brother hanging out, listening to music and grilling, you know, pre-made JTM burgers on a grill. It was great.
You feel like you're grilling, but you know, it's just warming it.
You know, we experimented with like seasonings, yeah. And, you know, stupid shit that college kids think they're good at, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing that's cool about my job is that you're like, your feet are held to the fire. Like,
right.
If you don't know how to cook, we're going to teach you.
Right.
And then you're going to have to teach it back to us. If I find a good ska band I like and just let it kind of decide for me, because normally I'm very picky and I don't like stations.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? So
I'm that way with bluegrass. Bluegrass is a very summer music for me as well. So yeah. One of my favorite drives I ever had to OU was I picked up WOUB pretty close, like pretty like early on in my drive, which mm-hmm. is, you know, their radio station. And they were just playing like continuous bluegrass music that I'd never heard before. And it was awesome. It was like a nice spring drive, which if you've never driven to Athens in the spring, it's gorgeous, mm-hmm. especially if you take State Route 50. So listening to bluegrass while driving through State Route 50 and through like the beginnings of Appalachia was awesome. So, but yeah, your ska is my bluegrass. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, the bluegrass is kind of like, country music in a,
it's like country music without all the poppiness of like current country. It's like country music from the country, right. Actually from the country.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you're driving a hillside or something, bluegrass is perfect.
Yeah.
Other things I have that I've been doing, Warzone. I got my Xbox to work finally, got a new modem and router. Been playing Call of Duty pretty religiously. I still suck,
yeah, well,
but I'm having fun.
That's the main thing, because that's why I don't play Duty games, is because I don't have fun with them, and I'm terrible. So
yeah. The Warzone element of, like, it almost feels like zombies, but you can win.
Sure.
And that, oh, like, I told Emily, I still use lingo from 10 years ago because that was the last time I was like really into video games.
Hey man, call outs are call outs, as yeah. long as you're getting them in there.
There's the 13-year-olds are still in the chat rooms. Yeah, you fucking pussy. Like, fuck you. Now I'm twice your age.
I could actually be your father. Please stop.
If I was getting it on in eighth grade, I'd be your dad. So yeah, Warzone's a lot of fun. That's pretty much all I can say. I can't play it every day.
Yeah.
I have to, but luckily I have some people in like a group chat and stuff, and they text me when they're getting on. So I never play alone and I think that helps.
Yeah, for sure. Playing, especially online shooters, is always more fun with people.
Yeah.
My little brother's gotten into Warzone as well, but we play Overwatch still all the time.
And yeah.
It's way more, I'll play it solo, but it's way more fun when you have somebody to talk shit with and, yeah, and make call outs, and because it's just a lot more fun with people. So. Yeah.
Last thing I have, I guess I can wait till music, technically, but that thing you do, it's one of my favorite movies about music. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Would it remind me about it again?
This band from Erie, Pennsylvania, they get a single that gets on the radio. And
I don't think so. I know the movie. I just don't know if I've ever seen it in full.
So the guy that wrote the song, that thing you do, the song in the movie, it's like it's based in the 60s. So it's got like a really Beatles sounding song.
Yeah, I can hear the song. Like, I know the song. I don't think I've ever seen the movie, really.
The guy that wrote the song is Adam Schlesinger. Mm-hmm. He was the lead singer of Fountains of Wayne. And he just recently passed away from COVID, which is the only time I really want to mention. I don't know if you guys noticed, we strategically don't mention it.
Yeah.
But this is one time I do want to mention it.
Sure.
He died at 52. There's a lot of good pieces about him right now because he was such a prolific songwriter. He wrote a song for a show called Ex-Girlfriend, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, something like that.
Yeah.
It went on for 4 seasons. He wrote new songs for every episode.
That's dope.
Crazy impressive. He wrote the song for That Thing You Do, which starts out as a ballad in the movie and then it progresses. So he had to write it a couple different ways. And he wrote song after song. They had like 4 or 5 songs in the movie. And he's just really impressive. And he was in Fountains of Wayne. So, of course, everyone knows him for Stacey's Mom.
Yeah.
Is one of the better pop songs of the 2000s.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly. That was that came out my junior year of high school, I believe.
Yeah, so. it's his eye for pop is insane, and he just wrote so many songs that were important to my life. So I thought we would at least mention him. I don't know a lot about the guy. I learned more about him after he died, which is kind of sad. But he wrote "Just a Girl" by the Click Five, which in seventh grade meant the world to me. He wrote the title track for That Thing You Do. And, you know, he had all those Fountain Wayne songs. He had Hey Julie, which was featured on Scrubs. One of my favorite scenes is Zach Braff.
Right.
Yeah. Turning into,
you know what? I don't know if I'm sure it's been done before, but I would really like to see a documentary about the songwriters in the music industry because, yeah, we have all these great artists and they're known internationally, but the songwriters don't get enough credit. You know what I mean? It's a lot of these people don't write their own music, especially in pop. Like pop, it's very rare to get a singer songwriter. Like Taylor Swift is one of the few I can think of off the top of my head, John Mayer. But a lot of, even then they have people write songs for them as well. So I would, because they're kind of unheralded. I mean, that's what Chris Stapleton was for a long time. Yeah. And then he finally got a break, you know, with his vocals. And I would love to see like the other side of the music industry, like something about studio musicians and songwriters would be so fascinating.
Yeah. And he just had an ear for it. And like situationally, he was in a lot of songs that contributed to some of my favorite shows, like Hey Julie. He didn't write specifically for Scrubs, but it fit perfectly. And he also had Sink to the Bottom on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh yeah.
And that's another great song. I mean, I feel like everyone is saying it right now, so I hate to be a part of that, but Fountains of Wayne, all their songs are great.
Yeah,
not just the top 5 on Spotify. So if you could go in there and appreciate some of Adam Schlesinger's songs, I think you'll be surprised how catchy of a song he can write. And That Thing You Do is one of my favorite movies of all time. I watched it today with a free 7-day trial on Cinemax.
Nice.
So, you know, if you got the time, might as well do the 7-day free trial with Cinemax and watch it. There's a lot of good movies on Cinemax right now.
I wonder if Cinemax still has their Skinemax stuff on there. Like the stuff that came on at like 3 a.m. Like the Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, you probably don't have to wait anymore. There's probably a tap for it. Probably is not as impressive as it was when we were searching for it. No,
it's, I mean, it's soft core, just yeah. baby stuff, but yeah.
But you know where we'll be.
Yeah, that's right. Cue up the Red Shoe Diaries, buddy.
But yeah, just to give another shout out to a podcast I've been listening to. It's a podcast called Reminiscent. It's a pop punk and emo indie music podcast. And their most recent one, they do a deep dive into everything that Adam Schlesinger was a part of and things he contributed to. So we'll check it out because Kevin and I are not experts in Adam Schlesinger. And
no.
But we're big fans of his work. So, you know, that's all we'll say.
Yeah.
So let's get into things that keep you up at night. Kevin, you can start.
I've already kind of touched on it, but just all the video games I'm playing. I've been playing, I think last night I stayed up till 4 a.m. playing Final Fantasy VII. I want to say it was 4. No, that was the night it came out because it came out at midnight. So I loaded it up. Like I had like a timer set. I was like, I was in there at midnight playing that game, mm-hmm. and I played till 4 a.m. Last night I played till like 2, but I was on my phone till like 3. I've basically gone back to being a high schooler on summer break is essentially what I've done with my sleep schedule. So I'll play video games until I fall asleep and I'll wake up at the fucking ass crack at dawn or noon.
Yep.
So I'll wake up, have lunch, and then play video games till I fall asleep. That's what I've been doing, man. Working out every now and again in between. So yeah, that's what's been keeping me up at night is just my insatiable appetite for the media that I enjoy. So.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if you noticed them. Probably. This is like, I feel like I'm very late to the party. But the other day, me and Emily were driving around, and I noticed like, those stars that people put on their houses.
That's what I thought this was when I looked at the notes. I fucking hate those things.
So I was like, I pointed it out and I was like, wow, that's lame. Someone has that on their house. And Emily's like, you do realize that's like on every third house you see.
Dude, yes, I hate it.
And I was like, no way. No way. And lo and behold, everywhere I go now, I can't see them.
They're everywhere.
It's incredible.
I don't know what the significance is, but it's this weird Midwest thing. It's like a live, laugh, love sign, dude. Like every middle-aged suburban mom has a rustic star on the side of their house. If they're outside of like suburbia, mm-hmm. it's like a rural. It's like the rural live, laugh, love sign is the rustic star.
Home sweet home. Yeah, here you are.
I can't believe you've never noticed those.
I know. And I was like driving at work the other day, and then I was driving home, and I was like, I'm seeing these everywhere. And I text him like, I saw another star. She's like, not impressive. That's not text worthy. And I was like, okay. It's crazy to me because I guess I always thought I was attentive, but I guess I'm not. Because here's another good example of this. When I worked at a restaurant, I came into work one day and I guess I walked in a different way and I was like, oh sweet. We got a carryout sign. Finally. And they're like, dude, this sign's been here since we opened.
Right.
And I was like, nah. Man, I walk by this thing every day. There's no, this has not been here since we opened. They're like, oh yeah, it's been here for 8 years. And I was like, So I started asking people like, hey, you haven't talked to so-and-so yet, right? No. All right. How long has that carryout sign been there? No, that's been here.
Yeah.
Fuck. I do not pay attention.
Well, I think that's partly too. I think it's just a habit thing. It's like, you weren't looking for them, so you weren't seeing them. It's kind of like every time I take a drive through somewhere I've been to a million times, and it's a different time of the day than I normally would be driving in it, I always see something I've never seen before. Like when I worked at the outlets, I mean, I drove through Lebanon every day pretty much for 4 years, 5 years. And I drove through one day, like just not going to work. And I noticed so much shit I'd never seen before because I wasn't like, fuck, I'm going to work. Or like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm off work. Cause I wasn't like, I was kind of like looking. I just noticed shit, but I'd been driving that road for 3 or 4 years at that point. So I get it, but it's still strange to me that you've never seen them because you've been here your entire life. You grew up in Monroe, for Christ's sake.
I know. That's the pinnacle of rustic stars.
I hate Midwest chic barn, whatever the fuck you want to call it. If it looks like it came out of a barn and it's hanging on your wall, I hate it. Like a wagon wheel on the bar on the wall, I hate it.
Yeah.
If it's not, if it should be in a barn, if it's from a barn.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Whatever. I think that's amazing that that's what that actually was, because I saw it and I was like, oh, maybe this is like a band or something like that.
No. I don't know. It fell off my radar somehow.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you can suffer with me now.
Yeah. Now I can't put it back in Pandora's box.
Right. Yeah. It's out.
So our beer of the show is Jackie O's Who Cooks For You. It's a double dry hopped hazy pale ale.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm impressed it's not an IPA.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it tastes very similar. I mean, yeah. It's a hoppy pale ale, which is essentially what an IPA is. So, yeah, it's great, whatever it is. Jackie O's out of Athens. We already talked about Athens once today. Jackie O's was kind of in one of the first, like, true craft beers I've had. Because when I was going there, this was way before the craft beer craze. And they were brewing their own stuff. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Let's go to a beer where they can't get this beer anywhere but literally in this bar. Mm-hmm. And so I've been a huge fan of Jackie O's forever. Started with Mystic Mama. And then I saw this can, and it's incredible. It's a white, all-white can with this crazy art on it, this dope-ass owl on it. I love a hazy IPA. So this didn't disappoint. If you like juicy or hazy IPAs, this is a perfect, perfect drink for you.
Yeah, we've already finished a six-pack.
Yeah, I got here, less than an hour ago?
Yeah.
We both finished three. I mean, it's 5.5, so it's not, like, super. Yeah, 5.5, so it's not crazy, but it's more than a butt heavy, so.
Yeah. Jackie O's always has really good IPAs, and their cans always look dope as shit.
Yep.
And I think that's, like, the perfect. For someone, I'm kind of a simple man when it comes to going to a store and, like, buying craft beer. I don't always, like, read the labels and stuff. If I see a cool can, I'm like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And then I'll read the can.
I'm incredibly susceptible to marketing.
Yeah.
I've grown to accept that in my adult life, and I'm okay with it, because if you're going to take a lot of time to make a really cool product, like make the outside look cool, I have to hope that you put at least as much care into the product that's actually inside of that packaging. So.
Yeah. And Jackie O's always has the coolest cans.
Yeah, they haven't let me down. So, I mean, I fucking love them, man. I've been drinking Jackie O's since before it was legal to drink Jackie O's. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love the shit, man. It's really, really good. Like I said, if you like a hazy IPA, this is perfect.
Yeah.
It comes out looking like a banana milkshake, and that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did the smart thing and poured it out of a can. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think that's people's problem with craft beer sometimes, that it's always cheaper to can it, but it doesn't taste as good.
Right.
So being able to have some glasses with it is cool. So you gotta find.
No, you're good.
Taco Bell is introducing a flaming hot Doritos Locos Taco.
Dude,
that's the kind of news we need.
Yes.
I felt like they'd done something similar before. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, they've had Doritos Locos Tacos before. I mean, they had like the nacho cheesy. I think they had the spicy.
Was it Diablo or something?
They have Diablo sauce. I mean, I don't know. Taco Bell does the same shit every couple of years and just changes the word verbiage up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I fall for it every time. I'm always, within the first week, getting a new Taco Bell product because I love Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been through a bit of a love-hate relationship with Taco Bell recently.
Really?
Yep. So, for all you people in and around Kings Island area, that Taco Bell is the worst fucking Taco Bell in the country.
Yeah. Have any sauce.
It's gross. I went there once and I violently, violently puked for like 2 hours. So I had to stop eating Taco Bell for a while. And then I did the smart thing and I went to the best Taco Bell in the country, which is the one in Lebanon.
Yep.
And that got me back on track with Taco Bell. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to try this because I love the regular Doritos Locos Tacos. So having a flaming hot version of it is going to be.
Whew. Yep. I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I didn't see any information about when it's going to be released. But just know it's on the horizon. That's enough to keep the motor going. The next.
Some good news during these dark times.
Right. If Taco Bell can put out a little announcement to let us know the next item on the menu, like bring back the double decker taco.
You can still get a double decker.
It depends on the store you go to.
They always have the ingredients. Just ask for it. It's like chili. You can get chili cheese burritos. Like, they don't have them on the menu, but I always get a chili cheese burrito. And oh, by the way, if you don't know this, you can grill any burrito that you get.
Really?
Yeah, you can put it. You can ask for it grilled, and they can press it on the like quesadilla press, and it's life changing.
Yeah.
Somebody did it for me on accident one day, and so the next time I went through Taco Bell, and I was like, this may sound weird, but like, can you grill my burrito? And dude's like, yeah, dude, we can grill anything. You just got to ask for it. So. Absolute pro tip there.
Yeah.
If you get those dollar burritos, get them grilled because it changes everything.
Don't let Snapchat get a hold of that. That'll be a 20 second slide on Snapchat.
Yeah, it's a BuzzFeed article.
Daily Mail is going to get a hold of that. Yeah, Taco Bell.
Yeah, dude, they're great.
I actually made double decker tacos for me and Emily for dinner. It's basically you get like. It has like a little kit, but it's not impressive.
Sure.
But it's like a $3 kit, and it comes with like the normal tacos and the hard shell tacos, and you heat up the Velveeta cheese, you heat up the hard shell, and then the cheese kind of holds it all together.
Oh, you see, the double decker is with the refried beans in between. You're talking about the
chalupa.
Yes, the nacho cheese chalupa, which is the best fucking thing in the world. I agree with you. They should bring that shit back because that shit was... fire, dude.
I'll pay the $3.49.
It was a chalupa with nacho cheese and then a gordita soft shell on the outside. Boy, was it good.
Yeah, come on. Don't let me and Kev on the marketing team for Taco Bell. We'll tear shit up.
That shit was so good. It was only around for like one summer, and I got one every day. Like, no joke. Like, I fucking love that thing.
Yeah.
Like, the quesarito is as close as you can get to it now.
Yeah.
So, Diesel's even getting fired up about it.
Man, he's like, when are we going to Taco Bell? We going after this? So the next item on the list is the XFL suspended operations. You know, they're not susceptible to...
I mean the XFL.
What did I say? The NFL?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the XFL has suspended operations. They laid off nearly all their staff, and currently they have no plans to return in 2021.
Yeah, that league's dead. I'm sure of it. I mean, they weren't making a whole lot of money to begin with. I mean, it was a good product. They had doing a lot of cool things. Like, their kickoff rule was really cool.
Yeah.
It sucks. I mean, I feel bad for Vince McMahon because this is the second time he's tried it now. I mean, it seemed like to be, I mean, it wasn't like, but it was football in spring. So I watched it. Yeah. You know, every now and again, I watched one full game, I think, the first weekend. Then I would flip it back and forth when it was on. But I mean, it was cool. I watched just a clip of a Bengals game today, and I was like, fuck, I miss football. I miss sports. I miss them so much. Like, we'd be in week 3 or 4 of the baseball season now. And like this,
I'd watch regular season NBA at this point.
Yeah. I'd watch anything. Like, I don't know. I never realized how much I missed sports until I didn't have it.
Yeah, and it's weird because even most of the podcasts I listen to are kind of catered to sports. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're finding weird things to talk
about. Yeah, I haven't listened to Pardon My Take in a couple of weeks probably. And it's my favorite thing to do is listen to Pardon My Take Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's not my favorite thing, but it's certainly my favorite podcast that I listen to.
Yeah.
And I just haven't listened to it. Now, I will say I've been watching the Cat Cave Derby every night at 6:57, and I'm a huge Spiral Ham fan. Like, that is my thing. Like, I'm hooked on it, dude. I have the live notification set for Big Cat. I won't miss one.
Yeah.
I love them. They're so funny, dude. And it's just competition. And I crave watching people. Like, I have an underdog to root for when there's nothing going on, and it's Spiral Ham.
And, yeah, now Big Cat is, like, playing online with the NCAA football
yeah,
14.
Like, yeah, 12 or something like that.
And his kid's asleep, so he has to, like, whisper. He's like, yes, let's go, baby. And, you know, both those guys have found ways to entertain us. Like, PFT does his Peloton bike club.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and well, Barstool's been killing quarantine content. I know this isn't on our notes, but they've been killing it. Like, Dave Portnoy with his unboxing videos, those are electric. I watched a little bit of Davey Day Trader the other day. Kate has been doing some really funny stuff. I love Kate.
Kate is easily the funniest person at Barstool.
She's awesome. I just recently started listening to Zero Blog 30. Like, I'm not a military. I've never served in the military, but it's funny. I like Chaps, and I like Kate, and I think they're the two funniest people that work there, so... I'll listen to that podcast, even though I'm not a military guy. But yeah, Barstool's been killing quarantine content.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the Star Wars one, the Star Wars kid?
No.
Roan brought out, it's fucking great. You need to watch that shit. But yeah, anyway, little tangent there. Just if you're not a stoolie, highly suggest you become one, because they know what the internet at large thinks is funny. So
yeah, they've definitely got their pulse.
Yeah.
On Twitter of all places.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's people that are our age or probably a little bit older. They still have a good feel of what's funny.
Yeah.
And there's someone for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I got hooked on Barstool because of Big Cat and PFT.
Yep, me too.
And then I've kind of branched out with Zero Blog 30. And, you know, some of the movie stuff they do is pretty cool. But yeah, Barstool has something for everyone.
Yeah, it really does. It's
where The Ringer almost feels a little more hipstery at times. I like Russillo and I listen to Russillo's every now and then, but you know.
I like, you know what? I like Russillo on Pardon My Take. Like when he's on Pardon My Take, Russillo is hilarious. Mm-hmm. So,
next thing, this was kind of put in here more as a way to make fun of him, but Tom Brady's company filed for Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady.
I think it's genius. I mean, somebody was going to do it. Somebody was going to make those t-shirts.
Dan Patrick Show already did Tampa Bay.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's smart to copyright that and make money off of it. I mean, yeah. I think they tried to copyright Tampa Bay 12 as well for TB12. So, yeah, I mean, good for him, man. Tom Brady is a smart guy and his whole brand is a smart branding. I think it's hilarious. Like Tampa Bay is stupid as fuck. And so is Tampa Brady. But
those shirts are going to sell.
Dude, they're going to sell like crazy.
A $40 t-shirt.
Especially if he like makes the playoffs with Tampa next year. I mean, he has all the talent around him to do so. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Gronk, there's rumors of Gronk might be going there.
Oh my God. Gronk belongs down in Florida.
He does. He does.
But yeah, I feel like Tom Brady's had more exposure in the last 2 weeks since he left New England's. You know, going on what's that dude's name? The radio show, Howard Stern.
Oh yeah,
that interview with Howard Stern gave ESPN like enough work for 2 weeks. It's kind of crazy. You didn't realize how much he hasn't told about his life, and you know
he's an interesting dude. Like, yeah. I think I used to hate Tom Brady for the longest time. I hated him ever since the Tuck Rule game. The Raiders should have been in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That dynasty should have never started. But over time, you learn to respect greatness, and he's great. He's the best of all time.
Yeah.
And then I started looking, I followed. He's awesome. His social media presence is hilarious. He had one TikTok that I saw that is one of the funniest TikToks I've ever seen. And it's him just making fun of himself. It's great. I'll show it to you after the podcast. Okay. But yeah, I mean, he's really funny on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. Like he seems like a legit dude. Like somebody, like I like people that are hyper competitive and have like a drive to be great, but are still kind of down to earth and like can make fun of themselves and are funny and seem like a regular dude. And he seems like a cool dude to kind of hang out with. So yeah. Plus he's, like I said, he's the greatest of all time and I hated him for the longest time, but I've grown to respect him and even kind of like him. So,
yeah, as much as we want to poke fun at Tom Brady, a lot of it's very, I don't know, jealous.
Well, you either hate or love, you either hate or love greatness. It's like, there's two big sides of LeBron. It's like you hate him or you love him.
See, I love watching LeBron play, but man, his off court presence is something to be desired.
Yeah, it's humorous to me.
Yeah,
like his Instagram is so funny. I mean, it's cringe funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like he needs self awareness, but he like when would he have learned?
Well, he never got to be a kid. You know, I mean, he was in the national spotlight since the time he was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the biggest thing ever. You know what I mean? I mean, I was in high school when LeBron was in high school. He's like a year or two older than me. So I remember being in high school when LeBron was blowing up, and it was the craziest shit ever.
All I had was OJ Mayo.
No, OJ Mayo was huge, too, though. Yeah, like, he played around in Cincinnati for 1 year, and like OJ Mayo was crazy, man. So, but yeah, I mean, he never got to be a kid. He's been a superstar since he was 16. It's like Bryce Harper. Like he's got a weird personality because He never got to grow up and be a kid. So
those child stars, man.
Yeah, I mean it's funny, you know, it's funny to talk about, but you know, it's true to a degree. I mean, I feel like we judge them unfairly sometimes because they never got to go through like just being a normal person like we did. So
that's fair.
Then again, they have millions, so fuck them. So
you don't get to be in the spotlight. Not get made fun of.
Yeah.
The movie we've been talking about, whether it was here or Dollar Beer Night, Parasite, won a bunch of Oscars. Is that right? Oscars? I don't know. One of the awards. No,
who cares? Awards are done.
Academy. It's on Hulu now. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it eventually. I love foreign films, especially like Korean and Japanese films, not just anime. But like a lot of like The Ring isn't originally a Japanese movie. One of my favorite, like top five movies of all time, Old Boy is a Korean movie. If you've never seen Old Boy, it's a fucking trip, man. So I think Parasite is also Korean. I could be wrong about that.
It's one of, I don't know.
Either way, they make movies way differently than we're used to in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They're way more tense and way more, I don't want to say adventurous, but it's just something like most American audiences aren't used to. So the shock value is even higher for these like thrillers. So my main exposure to that is Old Boy, which is literally the twist in Old Boy had my jaw like literally on the floor. Like my jaw literally dropped like at the end of that movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to watching Parasite because I've wanted to watch it for a long time, ever since I first heard about it. It's just, you know, being able to put down Final Fantasy for, you know, a couple hours to watch it. So,
yeah, future Kev will watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Parasite, I'm going to watch it this week. I know Kev will probably watch it in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll watch it eventually.
Next thing I have is Scrubs has officially done a Scrubs rewatch. It's called Fake Doctors, Real Friends. It's got Zach Braff and Donald Faison. And it's been a dream come true. There's two episodes, and they announced earlier this week that they're going to be doing two episodes a week during quarantine.
Nice.
So that'll be exciting. The first couple weeks have been a lot of fun. Episode one was kind of all over the place, but that's kind of to be expected with the first episode because there's so much you want to say and you want to get it all out. And episode two was a little more focused, and I'm excited because it's kind of what I wish The Office Ladies podcast was.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes The Office Ladies want to talk about what's going on in their day-to-day lives and stuff, and it's like, I'm listening to The Office Rewatch.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, as much as I like Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, I want to hear what's going on the show.
Right.
You know, if you want to have like a Jenna Fischer, Angela Kinsey podcast where you guys just talk about everyday stuff and baking and stuff, that's cool. Because they're both incredible at it, but like stick to that. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do an Office rewatch, do an Office rewatch.
Yeah, sure. I get it.
They do an hour podcast every week and it's like 35 minutes are about things that aren't, that have nothing to do with the episode. It feels like they kind of skate through the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach and Donald are best friends in real life, which is incredible. And him hearing them talk about that kind of stuff just warms the heart.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any interest in Scrubs and haven't seen it somehow on the internet, you heard it here first.
Scrubs is great. I mean, I haven't listened to either one of these rewatch podcasts. I'm a little bit of a fan of The Office, but I fucking loved Scrubs and its original run. So that's certainly something I would be interested in. I like Zach Braff and Donald Faison. Is that his name? Donald Faison?
Yeah.
I think they're both awesome people, like off of that show as well. So it'd be interesting for me to listen to it. I don't know if I would rewatch it with the with them, but I feel like that's kind of how that podcast would go. I would listen to an episode here or there, just kind of listen to them talk about the show, or like maybe pick like a favorite episode of mine once they get to it, and then listen to that, like watch it and then listen to it. But yeah, I'm super interested in that. Like I said, if I was going to rewatch it with them, it's something I would absolutely listen to because I love that show, and it's rare that a network show has that much heart to it and is written that well.
Well, it's funny you say that because Ryan Russillo, before I start, Daniel Cunningham, shout out to him. He turned me on to Ryan Russillo interviewed Bill Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
who did He was a creator of Scrubs. He was a showrunner of Scrubs. He's kind of the person who kind of plotted out Scrubs, and one of his college roommates was JD. His name's John Doris.
Right.
And it was cool to listen to him talk about his trials and tribulations to get to Scrubs. I didn't know that he was a writer on Boy Meets World. He came up with Topanga's name.
Interesting.
And then he was a writer on Friends in season one, and he got fired at the rap party.
Well?
Because he was talking shit.
He's what, like, about how unfunny Friends is and how bad of a show it is?
He was like, you know, he's like, one of the lessons you need to learn is people can make fun of you all day, but if you make fun of the showrunner or the showrunner assistant, you get fired. It's like, I mean, he was 24, 25, because when Scrubs went on, he was 27.
Damn, that's crazy.
Does that make you mad? I'm mad.
No, I'm not mad. I mean, I've gotten past, see, you're still, what, 25?
27.
20, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm old.
Really?
Yeah, I'm old.
Jesus Christ. So I must have, I met you then, you were 24.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
You're still just, you're always going to be a little baby deal to me. But yeah, I've gotten past the, like, I'm 33 now, so I've gotten past the point of being mad at people that are more successful than me at my same age, because I could have done more. You know what I mean? It's my fault.
Yeah. So
it's not, I'm not mad at them for grinding, you know what I mean? Or like focusing on something that they wanted to do earlier in their life. Mm. I could still do it. It's just, but I get being angry because I went through that phase for the longest, like all the way through my 20s, I tracked my age based on what my professional football contract would have been.
Right.
Right. And so I'd be like league minimum veteran contract at this point in my life. And that sucks. I get where you're coming from, but I've gotten past the other side of that at this point in my life. So.
Yeah. And it's more of a, like, I hear it and I'm like, damn, I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to be in charge of like an entire show as powerful as Scrubs was. To have that much depth, like, it just makes you, I don't know, it at least makes me like turn a mirror to myself. Like, am I
doing all that I can? Sure.
Yeah. Am I that deep? Should I be more deep?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what helped me get over that feeling was because I was like, man, these guys are just ultra talented. I'm like, no. If I had focused on the same shit they did, I probably could have done, you know, there's certainly a little bit of talent in there, but talent is nothing without hard work. You know what I mean? So if I had focused like a lot of these people had, I could have had at least some modicum of success in the same field. There's, you know, it's hard work and luck, and then talent comes third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what helped me get over it. It's like I just didn't work hard enough. I was a lazy bastard. I wanted to smoke weed and get drunk until I was 25. So, yeah, that's why I'm not being a showrunner for one of the best shows of all time at 27. So,
yeah
it's my own fault. So, yeah, you're right. I turned the mirror on myself. I've already turned the mirror on myself, and I've stared at it for a really long time, and I've accepted that what I saw at this point. You're just getting now to turn closing that medicine cabinet door. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, Lordy. I still remember the Say Anything album that I picked for my album that changed my life. I remember like tossing a baseball in a warehouse when I was like 15 or 16. And the guy I was passing ball with was a guy that gave me a CD. And he's like, 19, he wrote that album. I got a lot to live up to until I'm 19.
Yeah.
I remember 19 coming and going, and I turned 20, and I was like, I have not written. I've not written music. I've not done anything.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it's the thief of joy to compare yourself to other people.
Right. But, well, we weren't willing to sacrifice what was important to us at the time. For me, it was having a good fucking time. You know what I mean? Yeah, I wanted to party and live my life, and I had a blast. I wasn't focusing on the stuff that they were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I regret not focusing because I had a blast. You know what I mean? I'm going to look back, you know, from the years between I was 14 and 25, I partied like a fucking rock star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't regret it. I just wasn't a rock star because I was partying like one.
Yeah.
I wasn't focusing on honing a skill aside from being able to, you know, French inhale and chug beers. So. Yeah.
Who would have thought the Scrubs rewatch would make us get the most philosophical that we've ever been on the Queen City podcast? Last thing I got for TV is Space Force It's a sitcom coming to Netflix May 29th. It's going to be a 10-episode first season starring Steve Carell. The showrunner, I believe, is going to be Greg Daniels, who ran The Office. So people are pretty excited to have Greg Daniels and Steve Carell kind of in the same vein. And Space Force, you know, it's bound to be funny.
Yeah, sure. I like a lot. I mean, there was, I forget what it was. It was on Crackle, I think. It was some sort of space comedy, and it was amazing. Milana Ventru was in it, the old T-Mobile girl, the cute T-Mobile girl.
Oh, yeah.
She was in it, and she's actually hilarious. Like, she's really, really funny, and she's funny in that show, but it lasts, like, a season because it was on Crackle. nobody was going to pay, like, $5 a month for Crackle.
Do the free trial of Crackle.
Right, and except for me because I wanted to see it because I'm in love with that girl. Like, whew, baby doll, she's attractive. But, yeah, I love space stuff. So it's space comedy is always going to be, you know, something I look for.
Yeah. And 10 episodes is kind of perfect for a sitcom.
It's perfect.
Because there's no fillers.
Yep.
Especially in the first season. So that's exciting. And also they don't really have to battle with the whole, what are they going to do for the pilot? And then what are they going to do for the rest of the show? They've already got it all filmed. So. And it's got Steve Carell. So it's going to be exciting. May 29th is when it's being aired. Hopefully we'll be out of quarantine by then.
Hopefully,
so hopefully we're like, oh, dang, that already came out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll go back and watch it.
Right. Oh, man, I was busy working. That would be great, wouldn't it? Just to say that sentence again.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I know you're still working. But.
Yeah. So let's get into movies. The first one is yours.
Yeah. I recently finally watched The Irishman on Netflix, Scorsese film. He brought back any Italian mobster that's ever played an Italian mobster is in this movie. It's got, Pacino, Pesci, Scarface. What is his name? Not Scarface. That's Pacino. De Niro isn't. Yeah. De Niro is the main. De Niro is the Irishman, and every other person that's ever played any in mob movie ever is in this movie. So it's a classic. I haven't seen a mob movie in a very long time, probably not since The Departed, really. And if you love Scorsese films, this is Scorsese like unfiltered. It's a 3.5, almost 4 hour long movie.
Yeah, what did we say before we started airing was like it's a director's cut
because
Netflix isn't going to be like, hey, this is kind of long.
Yeah, we can't market this. Yeah, we can't sell this in theaters. Nobody's going to want to sit in the theater and watch a 4 hour long movie. But I did. You know what I mean? It was great. I wasn't like, man, I wish this would end. But I also wasn't like, man, I want to watch this for another hour. It was like a perfect length. It was exactly what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
The pacing was perfect. If you don't know anything about it, it's about the story of like Jimmy Hoffa and his murder. The Irishman is the hitman on his deathbed. He essentially admitted to killing Jimmy Hoffa. It never got like corroborated or anything like that. So a lot of it is like in question, but it's like the story that he told the writer of the book that the movie is based on. So he was an Irish hitman for the mob in New York for, I don't know, for a very long time. And he also worked directly with Jimmy Hoffa. It's super, super good, man. It's just, if you like mob movies or if you just like good movies, honestly, it's really, really something worth watching. Scorsese is awesome. He can't do no wrong. So to me, he's like Tarantino, where if his name is attached, I'm going to watch it. So.
Right. And he's been doing it a lot longer.
I mean, they've both been doing it forever. But yeah, Scorsese's been doing it for
what, since the 70s?
Who knows, man? Somebody knows. But yeah, I don't personally know off the top of my head. But yeah, he's been making movies forever, and
yeah,
every one I've seen is great. So
something about Joe Pesci kind of reminded me of something I watched on Netflix. It's called The Movies That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
You watch this on Netflix?
No, yet? But I'm aware of it.
So it's,
is Goodfellas on there? I'm sure.
Home Alone is on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's famous Joe Pesci film.
I mean, it is the famous and one of the famous Joe Pesci films. But.
Yeah, it's funny because it does Home Alone. It does. It talks about. I cannot believe I'm drawing that bad.
I mean, I'm familiar. If you watch The Toys That Made Us, it's very, you know, it's the same people that did that. So
if you click on The Toys That Made Us, it has like a second season and it has movies that made us.
Yeah.
So Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Four perfect movies. The one with Die Hard was incredible. All of them have been great. Just because it kind of gets into how stressful they were to make.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters, John Belushi was supposed to be in the movie. He passed away, so they kind of based one of the ghosts to look like him.
Sure. Was it doing a speedball?
Yeah. It was the big fat ghost. Yeah. it was just incredible to watch, and a lot of it was very informative. Like, Joe Pesci comes onto a comedy movie, and he's kind of a dickhead, and he's like, this isn't how they do it in Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
You know, and everyone's like, I hate Joe Pesci.
I can't imagine he's a great person.
Right.
So, I mean, I love him in the movies that he's in. Yeah. Like, My Cousin Vinny's great. Home Alone's great. Goodfellas is a absolute classic. Mm-hmm. He's great in Goodfellas, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure he's a prick. So
it barely touched on it, but it was enough for you to be like, That's pretty fun. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Going from a Martin Scorsese film to, you know, Home Alone would be a big jump.
Right.
But yeah, that was the only thing I had for movies. Only other thing I have is The Phantom of the Megaplex. It's on Disney Plus. It was one of like the Disney Channel original movies. this is a deep cut.
It sure is, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It was my... I think it was the first scary movie I ever watched.
Really?
Because I watched it and I remember like the sounds and stuff would freak me out.
Sure.
And watching it now is like so stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta imagine when you're a kid.
And I think it came out in 2000, so I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So the girl in the movie who was like 9 or 11, I was like, I watched it with Emily. I was like, I was in love with that girl.
Yeah, well, that's why I love Christina Ricci to this day, because Christina Ricci in Casper, dude.
Oh. Right. She puts on her mom's wedding dress.
Oh, ooh. God, I love her, dude. I love Christina Ricci so much. That's like, to this day, that is like my preferred type of woman. It's like that kind of like sort of gothy, like could kind of kick your ass almost.
Yeah.
So like Marla Singer from Fight Club or whatever. Oh, yeah. Is that her name in the movie?
Yeah.
But she was so hot to me. Mm-hmm. Even though she's like, you know, cracked out and whatever. I forget her actual name, like her real name, the actress's name, but I've always just been kind of attracted to that. So
yeah, but yeah, it was just funny, you know, the things you find yourself watching during the day during quarantine.
Right.
Phantom of the Megaplex. It's stupid, but it's pretty great.
Sure.
For being stupid.
Sure. I mean, I was watching fucking Supermarket Sweep from 1991 the other night and having a blast.
Yeah.
I would never watch that. I was just like, you know what? I fucking miss Supermarket Sweep. That shit was awesome. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's a great game show. Apparently, they're bringing it back with Leslie, what's her name, from SNL, the black girl. She's going to be hosting it. I don't remember her name. It's Leslie something. Yeah. But yeah, I can't wait, because that show is awesome. If you've never watched Supermarket Sweep, the actual sweep at the end of the show is electric, dude. Absolutely incredible. It's on, what is it on? Amazon for free if you have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So check that out. It's great. Excuse me, goodness.
Ooh, right into the mic.
That's a good segue to TV then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You got Letterkenny and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I feel responsible for both.
Yeah, you are definitely responsible. I mean, I had exposure to Brooklyn Nine-Nine before, and I've heard about Letterkenny before. So definitely more Letterkenny for you, because you were the first one that showed me like the opening, the cold openings to that show, which are great. Mm-hmm. I'm on season one, episode 7. I think it's episode 6 anyway. I just watched the election episode. And by this point, I'm getting, like, you get all the recurring jokes at this point. And Wayne is incredible.
Yeah.
Just his mannerisms, when he just straight stands up into perfect posture. Dude, everybody in Letterkenny is incredible. There's not a character I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, the ones I like the least are the hockey players. And when they just get on a tangent talking about fucking workouts or whatever, Blast some triple down, pull down, blast squats, bruh.
Oh, fuck legs. Fuck leg day.
Fuck leg day. Yeah, they just got called up to the senior team. This show's fucking great. If you don't know anything about it, it's about a small town in Canada. It's incredible. It really is awesome. Like, just the side conversations are incredible.
Yeah, it's almost like Seinfeld in like a small town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Canada. It's written by the guy that plays Wayne, is Jared Kiso.
Right.
And the other writer, I think, on the show is the preacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Those are the two writers on the show.
That's incredible.
Jacob Tierney, I think, is his name in real life. I don't know. I can't remember his name. Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne Harry now.
Oh, it's hot in here.
Have they caught the raccoon in the church yet?
Yeah, I just watched that one, the possum. It's great. Where Derry gets fucking rabies or whatever. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Letterkenny's great, guys. I know we could, me and Dill could just make vague references to the first season for a while, but go watch it. And also, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is kind of, it feels like Scrubs to me, and where it's very wholesome and just well-written, and the comedy's great, and all the actors are great. I got through season one. I'm into the very beginning of season two now. So, yeah, I love well-written comedy.
Yeah, and my girlfriend got really into Brooklyn, which mm-hmm. is funny because normally when I try to turn around to things, when we first started dating, you know, I kind of push Scrubs and How I Met Your Mother on my girlfriends, and she never really got into them, but I kind of just mentioned Brooklyn in passing, same way I did to you. Mm-hmm. It's like the less pushy I am about shows, the more it makes people want to watch
right.
it. And I was like, I think you'll like watching this. And I just put it on, and she's watched it three times.
That's funny.
Since she was unemployed. And she's been listening to podcasts about Brooklyn. She's been watching interviews. So she's more well-versed in a TV show that I like more than me. And it's kind of impressive.
Well, you know what I think it is too? I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine, more than a lot of shows that I've seen, treat their female characters as equals, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or almost even better than in a lot of respects. So then that's really hard to do, you know, and for a lot of people. With Scrubs and I haven't seen a whole lot of How I Met Your Mother, but with Scrubs, certainly, like, a lot of times, like, not that the female characters aren't strong, but they're not the same as like the male leads. You know what I mean? They're not treated on the same footing. It's like in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, everybody is kind of on the same footing, but they all have their own stories going on.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. It's cool to see like female leads treated well, you know what I mean? And written mm-hmm. Cause it's hard to write females, especially if it's a mostly male writing room. You know what I mean?
And on top of that, like the females aren't Caucasian females.
Right. Yeah. There's mostly Latino.
Yeah. There's Latino women, there's African American males, mm-hmm. and they're all treated like they're just human beings.
Yeah, they're just normal. It's just, it feels organic, and that's what I like about it.
The longer the show goes, and Emily and I were actually talking about this earlier today, the longer the show goes, they tackle subjects that would feel out of place anywhere else. But on the show, they tackle it with such ferocity, and mm-hmm. like, it takes all the humor out of that episode, and it takes it head on. And when it does, you're like, damn. Like, it almost brings you to tears. It's so powerful.
Right.
And Scrubs, I think, is the only other show comparable to that. Like, when it took on death, or if it took on certain elements of your job where it's like, you're not sure you really enjoy your job anymore. It's like, I don't know. It takes a show that you really care about, and you care about all the characters, and not just, like, the main ones. It happens to the side characters. It's really impressive.
And right.
It'll make you want to rewatch it.
Yeah. And it's one of the first shows I remember watching doing that was like Fresh Prince. It did a really good job of kind of dealing with those issues. And a well-written, funny show.
Yeah.
They really dealt with like strong issues. One of my favorite issues is when Carlton tries to get into the black fraternity at their college, and he's turned away because he's not black enough. And he goes home, and his father like blows up, and he's like, I worked too goddamn hard to give you guys a good life. Why should you be punished for not being black enough? Or what is black enough? And it's really powerful shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm obviously not a black guy. I'm the most white person you'll ever meet, but it still resonated with me. And that is a sign of really good writing.
Yeah.
Because it was fucked up. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, you're claiming to be a black fraternity, but just because he comes from a rich family, he's not black enough. That's fucked up. You know what I mean? So it's rare that, again, it's rare that you find shit like that. And that's why I think, you know, Fresh Prince has endured as well as it has. Because
And Brooklyn has an episode that talks about feminism in a way where Andy Samberg's character, he doesn't pretend to understand. He's like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea people dealt with that. And instead of like making it about him, he's like, I am like so sorry. Like I've lived my whole life not having to deal with this. That like it's never even crossed my mind. And that kind of stuff is like, it's cool for me personally because it's like, yeah, me too. Like I have no idea what other people have to deal with.
Well, I think that's the definition of white privilege, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like throughout the history of time, it's nothing in life has been easier than being born as a white male. Mm-hmm. And it's the civilized Western civilization. It's the easiest thing that could possibly happen to you is being born as a white male throughout history. So like coming at it from that angle is the healthiest way you can do it. Like, look, I've never had to deal with this before. So I'm sorry. You know, I you should be able to apologize for things that you've never been able to experience before, but you should also then learn from them. Yeah. That's the sign of being a good person, is if you can recognize when, you know, you, because of who you are, you've never had to experience something. And so when you're dealing with somebody that's had to deal with that, you have to learn from that experience, but you should also be allowed to apologize for, you know, not being exposed to that and saying something or doing something that might have been insensitive to that person who's gone through that. So I think it's a shit like that is powerful, and a lot of people are afraid to do it because it's not necessarily funny or it's hard to get across. But people that can do it and do it well, it's the most human thing you can get across, because, you know, there's no way I could ever experience being a black man.
Yeah.
Because I can't be a black man. So all I know is being a white guy. So I mean, when you can get that across, because like I'm very aware that I have white privilege, but it's not something that I'm ashamed of. You know what I mean? I can't help being white, but I can also be, you know, sensitive to people of color or women or any other person that's not who I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I also can't come at it from a point of empathy because I've never been that person. So it's a very new age human emotion that a lot of people are having to struggle with. So when you can get that across in a sitcom, it's great. It's just great writing.
I think that's the best way for us to absorb it.
Yeah.
Is like
through the lens of humor.
Laugh. Yeah. We laugh. And then it's like that moment of levity where it's like, oh damn.
Yep.
Like I would have never gotten this message through any other way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, it's one of the more progressive shows.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. It's also super goofy the way Scrubs was.
Yeah,
and
right.
I love that.
Well, yeah, again, it deals with those issues in a very human way. You know, if you deal with awkward shit by making fun of it, you know what I mean? So comedy is the source of being human, I think. If you can't find shit funny, then you're going to have a bad time.
So. Yeah. This has been the deepest episode we've got. I love it.
I love talking about shit like this because, again, it's, I like diving into like the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I have a very narrow world, like just personal experience with it. But I feel like I've done the best I possibly could with the experiences I've had to try to be sensitive, not sensitive, but, you know, kind of culture myself enough to where I can be a good person to whoever comes across my path. You know what I mean? That's my main thing. I just want to be a good person, and I want to try, and I want to put through the effort to just be a good person, because being a shitty person sucks for everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Except the, yeah. I had nothing to add.
Yeah.
So we'll get into music. This, mine is not going to be as, interesting as Kevin's.
Mine's not interesting either. It's just I had one more line than you did.
Sam Hunt released an album called Southside. I like Sam Hunt, but he also released singles that he released like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the main problems with like streaming music now. It's just, and that's the biggest problem in the EDM world. It's always been like that. People just release singles, and it's hard to kind of keep up with what's being released. And then when they finally do release an EP or an LP, it's like, well, I've already heard all these songs before, and it's like 4 songs and then, you know, 10 different DJs remixing the same song. Like, I don't want to listen to this in an album form.
Yeah.
So
That's one thing we can appreciate about, not that Beyonce is not someone to appreciate, but like she drops albums with no warning whatsoever.
Yeah, I love that shit. I love when, because Tiesto does that a lot too. He'll just drop new shit without telling anybody. Mm. Like the other day I was listening to, I had his playlist up where it's like his remixes. As I was looking at the playlist, a new one popped in. I was like, oh yes, I'm going to be one of the first people in the world to listen to this song. I love that shit because you have to pay attention. So I like people just dropping shit out of nowhere.
Yeah. So Sam Hunt has a new album called Southside. If you have followed Sam Hunt whatsoever, you probably heard most of them, but you know, maybe some skated through somehow. Man Overboard, a band I've been listening to for a long time. They haven't released music in about 5 years, but since the crisis has been going on, they got together in the winter. They decided to record some new music, and they released a new single called Lifeline. It's very rough, and it's kind of exciting because it reminds me of like 2010 when I was listening to them for the first time. It's very pop punk, you know. It's not polished like their last album was. There's a lot of imperfections, but that's kind of how I like my pop punk music. My favorite Blink albums were before they were on record labels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of fart jokes and stuff, but you know, Man Overboard isn't that simplistic, but it's still exciting to hear. You know, it sounds like it's made in a garage.
Yeah, and
that's kind of how I like my.
That's what punk should be. You know what I mean? I mean, because that's the stereotype about punk, right? It's a bunch of three or four dudes in a garage just playing loud.
Yeah.
So,
and it seems like anytime a band takes a break, when they come back, they're at their truest form.
Sure.
Because it's like I've missed this, and when the Starting Line released an EP for the first time in like 7 or 8 years, it was super grungy, and it was like, they haven't made music like this in 15 years, mm-hmm. but when you take a break and you come back, you appreciate the band for what it was. So, Man Overboard, very excited about this single, Lifeline. Came out April 10th. Kev, I'll let you take the next couple.
Okay, sure. I listened to, so The Weeknd just released an album, I don't know, a week or so ago, called After Hours. I like The Weeknd. I wouldn't say I love The Weeknd. Mostly because all of his albums to me have largely sounded the same. Mm-hmm. There's always one or two standouts that sound completely different. On this one, it's Blinding Lights. And if you've been on TikTok in the last month, you've heard this song a trillion times. But it's good. It's great. It's like Starboy from his last album. Yeah. It really stood out. Like the two Daft Punk produced songs from his last album were the standouts because they were different. It wasn't just, you know, your regular soul R&B stuff, which he's great at. Like, I'm not going to say that it's bad. It's just all kind of the same to me. So it's a good album. After Hours is what it's called. I'm sure you've listened to it if you're a Weeknd fan. People are going nuts about it. But, yeah, it's good. It just doesn't blow me away. The Weeknd has never blown me away. Let me just put it that way. But if you like that, if you like The Weeknd or if you like that type of music, it's a great listen. So, then I've just got a couple singles in the EDM world. Alesso featuring Liam Payne, a song called Midnight. It's just a good, easy jam. It's kind of, there's been a big trend in EDM right now of just kind of doing more acoustic stuff, working with like pop artists that are big. And Liam Payne is kind of the next big thing coming out of the UK. He's very in that kind of Zayn Malik kind of mold. And it's just a good, easy jam, man. Liam Payne did a song with Quavo last year. Strip That Down is what it was called. I had never heard it till today, but apparently it was huge. It's certified platinum in the UK and the US. So Liam Payne, he's got a great voice. Again, it's very poppy. But if you like kind of acoustic-y, kind of Avicii type stuff, this song by Alesso, Midnight, is really good. And then Dyro and Julian Cowler. I've talked about Julian Cowler before on this podcast. He's my favorite producer right now. He's incredible. He just doesn't tour, which is kind of frustrating because I'd love to go see his shit live. Their new single is called Warp Speed. So it's Dyro's track and Julian Cowler just featured on it, but it sounds like a Julian Cowler song.
Yeah.
It's an absolute banger, man. Right before the quarantine started kind of worldwide, Martin Garrix, who's another great young producer, premiered it live. And he put up a video of it on his IG, and the crowd went fucking nuts for the drop. So If you like kind of very big house type of music, give Warp Speed a listen. So, and then just last thing real quick, because it kind of ties into this. There's a lot of DJs on Twitch right now doing live concerts, and they're dope. Because it's their festival sets that they'd be doing, which are very different from what they release on Spotify.
Yeah,
it's like live mixes of stuff that they do, or they play a lot of other people's stuff. Like I said, Dyro or Julian Callar didn't get to premiere their song first. Martin Garrix premiered it first, which is crazy. That's just kind of how EDM works. But Ajuna Beats is doing a lot. Martin Garrix does a lot. Cascade did a live set recently. Zed does has done some sets on Twitch. So it's just really kind of cool to be on Twitch and see a live DJ set kind of from their own backyard.
Yeah. That's got to be weird to put on a performance and there's no one responding to it.
Yeah.
You kind of feed off that.
Right. I mean, certainly DJs or producers do more than anything because, they're at their decks for sure. But at some points they can just kind of let it play and get out and kind of interact with the audience. That's one of the coolest parts about it. But it's interesting to watch because I love listening to festival sets versus album releases, especially in EDM, because they're so different, but they're so cool. Mm-hmm. That's why the Alive Daft Punk album, it's all songs I've heard before, but they remixed them and mashed them together and made them sound really fucking cool. So yeah, festival sets are a completely different animal than listening to a song on Spotify that they produce in a studio. So,
yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Dill. Do your last one here because I don't have a whole lot to say about it because I have some unpopular opinions about this next band probably.
21 Pilots released a new single April 9th called Level of Concern, and it's probably my least favorite 21 Pilots
song. Oh, good. Because I don't like 21 Pilots.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before.
I'm sure we have either on the podcast or just in person.
Yeah.
I think they're fine, but they're very much, they feel very much like a 311 type band to me. And I've talked about this before where every 10 years or so, there's some quirky alternative rock band or weirdish rock band comes out and nobody's ever heard this before. This is so different. Chili Peppers and Faith No More, and then Sublime, and then 311, and then 21 Pilots. It's all kind of this in the same vein. So,
yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to listen to that Russillo and Bill Lawrence podcast because Bill Lawrence is people come up to me and pitch show ideas all the time. They're like, hey, my job is like a TV show, like a sitcom. He's like, well, everyone's feels like their life is a sitcom.
Right.
So how are you going to turn it into a TV show?
Right.
And I feel like music is that kind of same way. 21 Pilots is not original. They started making music in 2009, right. 2010. And I just feel like with their live performances, if that's not something you've ever experienced, I didn't like 21 Pilots in high school. A lot of my buddies were like, hey, dude, you should listen to 21 Pilots. They put their CD. I'm like, turn this shit off.
Yeah, right.
And when I saw them live, it just changed my whole perception of them.
Yeah.
They're so animated. They're passionate. They want to get the people involved. And they just have a passion for music that kind of exceeds just, wanting to make money. So in that way, I've always just kind of been a fan of them. And I've liked stuff that I wouldn't normally like.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since they're from local Ohio, it kind of makes you root for them a little bit harder.
I totally get that. I'm, for me, the big thing that turned me off about 21 Pilots wasn't their music, because I think their music is, fine if not good.
Yeah.
But it's the fan base around 21 Pilots that's constantly shoving it down your throat. It's like, fuck off. I'll listen to it if I think it's good.
That's how I feel about The Weeknd.
I agree. Totally. I think people love The Weeknd and they're kind of blind to how kind of vanilla a lot of his stuff is or how very similar it is. Like he's a great talent.
There was an article the other day, The Weeknd feels like Usher ripped him off. I was like, hold on. Usher walks so you could run.
Not Usher, bud. Not Usher. Come on.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir? Whatever. I mean, The Weeknd certainly is the first person to write songs like that. I mean, that's what the 90s, that's what you did in the 90s if you were a black music artist. You either were in hip-hop or you were in R&B.
Yeah, try Boyz II Men, The Weeknd.
Right.
Tell me you're original.
Unless you're Living Color, which was an all black metal group, and they're dope. They're awesome. But anyway, that was a bit of a fucking tangent there. But yeah, 21 Pilots, again, I think their music is good. I just don't, I can't deal with the fans. It's why I didn't watch Rick and Morty for the longest time, because that is the most intolerable fan base of all time. It's one of them, certainly.
Oh, yeah. They just think they're so above everyone else.
You have to have a PhD to get this. It's like, nah, I didn't even graduate. I don't have a degree. I was an English major in college, and I made it through 2.5, 3 years of college. I still get all these jokes, yeah. Guys.
I watched the first two episodes, and I was like, they both are unbearable. One's always drunk, and the other one's always like, oh, I don't know.
I think it's funny.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What do we do, Morty?
Just you and me, Morty.
Well, I don't know, Rick.
www.rickandmorty.com, Morty.
I think we could voice the actors.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Justin Roiland isn't a very talented voice actor. He's got two voices. He's got Rick. He's got, and then he's got Morty, and that's all he's got. I mean, because he's done voice acting before. I mean, he's a very funny person.
Yeah.
And he's really good at writing. And I love Rick and Morty. Don't get me wrong, but again, it's that fan base is unbearable. So again, to bring it back around, that's what kept me off of 21. That's what continues to keep me off 21 Pilots. So
yeah, I hope one day the fan base kind of chills out and you can listen to it through a clear lens.
Right. It's just one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, I really like this 21 Pilots album. If you say that to the wrong person, it's going to be, oh, yeah, you like 21. Oh, well, let me tell you about this. Or did you listen to this? Well, man, what did you think about this song? God, fuck off.
Yeah.
I just said I liked them. This is conversation rape.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about this. Yeah. It's like, hey, I liked this song.
I think that's something, as you get a little bit older, you learn to not be so pushy about your opinions.
Yeah.
And especially,
certainly hope so anyway.
Yeah. It's something I've learned just through doing this podcast. Like, if you really like something, I feel like people will know in your passion.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep mentioning it. You know, like Tommy, told us about that one movie during, Red Wine and Rom-Coms, and that's all it took was him explaining it just a little bit and me looking to see if it was free on the internet,
right.
And I found it.
Right.
He was right. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's certainly more interesting to just talk about a passion than to try to force it onto somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's with everything. Honestly, I learned that in my own personal journey with, like, religion. You know what I mean? I was such a violent atheist for a long time where I would attack people of faith. And then I realized how counterproductive that is, because I'm just doing the same thing that I hated that they were doing to other people. You know what I mean? They were pushing their faith, their belief, while I was also pushing mine with the same fervor. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. That's why I didn't want to be a Christian anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Is because I was getting shit pushed on me that I didn't like, and people just kept trying to cram it down my throat. I'm like, hold on, let me think for myself here. And that's why I kind of lost my faith originally. So
yeah.
It's the same thing with music or movies or TV shows. Like, if you talk about how much you like it and you don't try to force other people to, you're like, hey, you fucking need to watch this.
Nothing will stop you from watching something faster.
Right.
Then you have to watch
it. Right. I won't do it. That's been proven time and time again because you ruined How I Met Your Mother for me.
And I feel like that's going to circle back one day.
No, I don't know. It's whatever. I might watch it at some point, but again, there's so much other shit I want to watch. But yeah, I mean, again, we're getting off so many tangents here.
Yeah. That's proof that we're wrapping up.
Again, yeah. I mean, I haven't talked to another person for
many moons.
Many moons. So my philosophical side comes out naturally, I guess. But
that was kind of my hope. You know, we put some stuff in the notes, enough to at least do a 40-minute podcast.
Sure.
Not that we ever have trouble talking, but when I was at work yesterday, I was kind of just going through some stuff, and when I figured out we had enough for a podcast and Kevin agreed to come over, I'm over the moon.
Yeah.
I had so much fun today, Kevin.
Yeah, dude, this was great. I love talking about shit. I love talking about shit with you. Like I told you last time we were on together, you're one of my favorite people I've ever met. You're so interesting to me, dude. Like I said, I love coming on and doing this because it just gives me a platform to talk about all the crazy shit that goes on in my head. So
yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details. With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details.